And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The living brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is How Things Will Be. Each of my guests is discussing the evolution of things in our work and our personal lives. My first guest was diagnosed with vascular cancer in the lining of her blood vessels in her liver and her lungs. We discussed the lifestyle changes she made to be a cancer survivor and her latest book, Crazy Sexy Diet. My second guest is a professor emeritus at the Haas School at UC Berkeley. And we discussed creating product offerings that are so innovative they make competitors irrelevant from his latest book, Brand Relevance. My next guest is considered one of the world's leading technology forecasters and business strategists. We're going to discuss the 7 radical principles that will transform your business from his latest book titled Flash Forward. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Daniel Burris is one of the world's leading technology forecasters. Back in 1983, Daniel became the first and only futurist to accurately identify the 24 technologies that would become the driving force of business and economic change for decades to come. Since then, he has continued to establish a worldwide reputation for his exceptional record of predicting the future of technology change and its direct impact on the business world. He's the founder and CEO of Burris Research, which is a research consulting firm that monitors global advances in technology-driven trends to help clients understand how technology, social, and business forces are converging to create enormous untapped opportunities. He's the author of 6 books, including the international bestseller Technotrends. His latest book, as I said, is Flash Foresight, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How are you doing today?
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. And as we were talking with our earlier guest, Chris Carr, she said that she was the number one book on Amazon. And we come to talk to you and find out that we've got a real battle going on there for the number one book that
Right. We are battling. Yesterday, I was number one. I started out this morning on number one, and then we flipped. She went to number one, I went to number two, and then we just flipped back again. So we're kind of battling back and forth.
Oh, I love it. We have controversy here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain as well. Well, let's dive into your book, which I found fascinating, and just for the interest of full disclosure for my listeners, I have all of your books all the way back to 1983 with Technotrends. But in your book, it's called Foresight, a Flash Foresight. And I need to help you to help the audience understand the differentiation between hindsight and foresight for us. So tell us, what is that distinction?
Well, you know, hindsight only brings lament because you can't change the past. You know, for example, should have bought Apple in 1995, should have bought Google when it came out. Trouble is, you didn't. You see, if you didn't, you can't change the past, but you can shape the future. So foresight is powerful, Billy, and one of the reasons that I wanted to write this book and get it out there is because for 26 years I've been able to predict the future and be right. Key is, leaving out the parts you can be wrong about, but it's amazing how much you can still be right about what's left. So what I did is I wanted to teach others to do this.
All right. Well, now help us to understand the difference between foresight and just a gut reaction. I feel it in my gut. What's that difference?
Yeah, well, you know, it's almost like an instinct that we have, this foresight thing. The trouble is we don't know when to use it. For example, I know that every listener out there has said to themselves at one point, I knew that was going to happen, or I knew I should have done that, or I thought of that 10 years ago. And the problem is we don't know when to trust those instincts. What I'm doing in one of the things I'm doing in Flash Foresight is showing people how they can trust it by using one of the 7 principles is using certainty. In other words, there's all these things that we are uncertain about. And the world seems to be filled with uncertainty, and strategy based on uncertainty as high risk. Strategy based on certainty as low risk. So one of the things I'm doing is teaching people how to find certainty in an uncertain world.
And I want to come and talk about that, Daniel, in just a second. But you are the guru in forecasting trends, forecasting business patterns, and that sort of thing. In your mind, what separates a trend from a fad?
It's a really good one. Well, of course, fads are here today and gone tomorrow, and trends tend to last. And in the book, I talk about there really are 2 types of trends, hard trends and soft trends. In the present, they both look good. Hard trends will happen. Soft trends might happen. An example of a soft trend, when Elvis Presley died decades ago, in the first 10 years after his death, there was actual numbers showing an increase in professional Elvis impersonators. And if you go back then and use the curve of those increases over that 10 years, it would show that 1 in 3 Americans by the year 2000 would be professional Elvis impersonators. Obviously, that's a soft trend, didn't happen. Now, you might think, well, nobody would use a soft trend, but yet we do. Even the government in 2000 said that we were going to have a $1 trillion surplus by now, and obviously we have the opposite. So we got to be careful on making predictions based on soft trends. Hard trends, on the other hand, are fully predictable, and there are three drivers of them. Government regulation, believe it or not, is definitely one. Second, demographics. In the U.S., for example, 78 million baby boomers. And guess what? They're not going to get older, or pardon me, they're not going to get younger. They're getting older, and we can guess a lot about what will happen. And third is the most powerful, and that is technology. And we think it is impossible to predict, but yet it's actually one of the easier things to predict once you learn how.
All right. Well, let's dive into the 7 foresight triggers that you have outlined in your book. You've already really discussed number one, which is start with certainty, understanding the difference between hard trends and soft trends that are there. Next up on your list is anticipate base strategies and cycles and linear changes. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, let me just give you an example. And we'll use certainty and go right into anticipating. And that is with our smartphones, like let's just take an iPhone. Will there be more storage in that iPhone in the next one?
Sure.
What's your answer?
Absolutely, yes.
Of course. It's a certainty, by the way. Will there be a faster processor?
Sure.
Of course it will be. Will you have more bandwidth? We got 3G, then 4G. By the way, what do you think will be next?
5G.
Yeah, very good. See, okay. And by the way, you'll be right. See, you're pretty good.
I'm a forecaster. Wow.
I'm teaching you how to do it. Now, we have streaming video now. Will that streaming video on our cell phones and tablets be high-definition streaming video, or is that impossible? What do you think?
Not impossible, very likely.
It's a for sure. Now, if we've got all of those things, what does it mean? It means that if you just think about it, using a little process here, that we are going to be able to transform how we train our workers and educate people using mobile devices. And is that an if or maybe, or do you think that's actually going to happen?
That's going to happen.
It's going to happen, for sure. Now, if I know something for sure is going to happen, I now have foresight. By the way, I just gave everyone a flash foresight. And in that same way that we are transforming, not changing, education, we are going to transform how we sell, market, communicate, collaborate, innovate, educate, and train. See, if we're only changing those things, we'll fail. We have to actually start transforming them. And I'm kind of skipping ahead to one of my other seven, transforming. But let me just stay on that for 1 second because I think I can make a good point in one more short minute here. And that is, there's a difference between change and transformation. When I was a young guy, I could listen to my albums, one album per spinning disc, 33 and a third, and then a technical change came along. I could get one album per smaller spinning disc called a CD, and I rebought all my old stuff because I got rid of the pops and the hisses and the scratches, and of course it took up less space. Well, today I've got all my music, heck, it's in my phone, not to mention videos. What did that do? Well, that didn't change me. That's transforming how I listen to music. Well, once again, in that same way, we're going to transform everything that every business does, meaning educate, communicate, collaborate, innovate, train, market, sell. So this is not optional. It's a certainty.
All right. We're talking to Daniel Burris, everybody, author of the latest book, Flash Foresight, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. And Daniel, you're on a roll here, but I want to ask you a clarifying question if I can, especially on that anticipate. You were talking about how one thing follows another. Well, certain things go in cycles. I mean, for example, spring is going to follow winter. We're pretty certain of that because that's a cycle that we've seen repeated over thousands and thousands of years. So how do you differentiate between cycles, which I'm talking about, spring following winter, and some of the evolution or the flash foresights that you just took us through?
Yep. One of the things that I teach in the book is that there are cyclical changes. By the way, there's over 300 known cycles. But secondly, there is linear change, and that is once you're changed, you're not going back. Once we start seeing China and India changing like they are right now, and people moving out of the countryside, moving into the cities and getting jobs, and so on, you know what? They're not going back in the country again. That is a linear change. By the way, that has ramifications on our natural resources, on diet. Once people start getting up in the food chain, you know what? They don't want to eat what they ate back when they were poor in the farm. They want to eat something else. all starts to create actual linear changes with predictable results.
All right. We're talking to Daniel Burris. We're going through the 7 foresight triggers. Start with certainty, anticipate, transform. Here's the one that I found the most interesting is the 4th on your list. Take your biggest problem and skip it.
Yeah,
how do you do
I
that?
Love skipping problems. That's my favorite. I use it all the time. First of all, whatever problem you've got, that's not it. That's why you can't solve it. You're working on the wrong one. The only way you can find the real problem is to skip the one you think you've got. Now, let me just give you a business quick example. Eli Lilly, big drug company, years ago, they said they had a big problem. They had to hire, in their estimate, at least 2,000 additional PhD researchers to solve the molecular problems, to get more drugs in the pipeline, to get the price up. And they didn't have a budget for the 2,000 researchers. So we invoked the principle, take your problem and skip it. So what do? They took their molecular problems, posted them on the Internet in a dozen languages, and said, we paid for solutions. So what they have now is thousands and thousands of researchers around the world submitting solutions to those problems, and Eli Lilly only buys the solutions they want to get. Now, was the problem that they didn't have a budget to hire 2,000 researchers?
Well,
no. That's why they couldn't solve it. The problem they had, it's like an onion. You got to peel it back. The next layer down was solving molecular problems. Aha, that's the real problem.
All right, and that makes sense. Procter & Gamble is doing the same thing in terms of their R&D as well, putting it out there for others to submit to it. But let me ask you on a more grassroots level, Daniel, because nobody here in Ventura County really runs an Eli Lilly-sized company. We do have Amgen that is headquartered here, but that's one of the largest companies here. Most of our companies are small and mid-sized companies, and most companies have a perpetual problem, and that is I don't have enough customers, I don't have enough income coming into the business. So talk to us about how do you skip the problem in a case like that?
Well, first of all, not having enough income or not having enough customers, that's not the problem. You've got to dig deeper to see why you don't have enough customers, why you don't have enough income. You've got to peel it back and get a little bit lower. And what you probably are going to find out in today's world, with change going so fast, actually at transformational speeds, that all you're doing is reacting, dealing with change from the outside in, putting out fires. What I am doing with this book is teaching you how to anticipate and start seeing the opportunities and get out in front of the curve. So let me give you even a non-business example of taking the problem and skip it. I talked to a woman who had heard me speak, and I was sharing this strategy, and she was off to the side, came up to me after I talked to some people when I finished giving this big keynote speech, and she said, I got a problem I can't skip. And I said, well, yeah, what is it? She said, well, I was just diagnosed with terminal cancer. It's rapid growing. They said I got 6 months to live, and my problem is I don't want to die. And all I can do is think about dying because I don't want to die, and I can't even sleep at night. How do I skip that? And I said, well, why don't you skip thinking about dying until you're dead, and why don't you start thinking about living while you're alive? She wrote me 30 days later. She was in Europe on a vacation, said, thank you. It changed the life that I have left, and I'm enjoying it. See, what I'm getting at is the thing that's in front of us, staring us in the face, even that kind of thing, you can skip. You got to get it out of your way. It's like a roadblock.
And that's a very heartwarming story. It actually goes to illustrate your point number 5, which is go opposite.
Right. I love going opposite. Look, everybody loves those fancy shoes. I'm talking to you right now from New York. I'm looking down at Manhattan. There's all these stores with fancy shoes. So what did a small little company decide to do? Hey, let's do the opposite. Let's make it really ugly and just make it out of plastic, and it's called Crocs. And they're giant. They're everywhere. If it's big, look small. If it's up, look down. If it's left, look right. You can find all sorts of opportunities. Look at what Amazon did long ago. Instead of having, they were competing against Barnes & Noble, which had just started putting pianos and coffee bars in their places. And so what did Amazon do? The opposite. Let's have an invisible virtual bookstore. Did quite well. So whatever you think you're doing and whatever you're trying, take a look at the opposite. By the way, that company that you mentioned that may be having trouble with budgets and with customers, you know what? There probably is a better customer. Instead of looking in the direction and the customer that you think you're looking at, look in the opposite. For example, let's say your customer is the people that are looking for price, the best price. Well, what about people that are instead looking for the highest quality, which is kind of usually on the opposite end of the spectrum?
Sure. All right. We're talking to Daniel Burris, everybody, author of the book Flash Foresight, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. I want to come back to one of the companies you just highlighted, which is Crocs, and go back to an earlier question, which is differentiating between a trend and a fad. Are Crocs just a fad? I mean, yes, they are the opposite, do the opposite of the high-end shoes, but are they going to be a passing fad 10 years from now? Are we going to be looking in our closets and going, oh, all those Crocs, we're going to get rid of those in a yard sale?
What Crocs is doing is something actually very good, because they realize that it's the look of it that becomes the fad. It's not the category. What they did was to create a new category by going opposite. And now that they've got this category, which is actually a comfortable shoe that really kind of feels good wearing it, and it's easy to put on, put off, and you don't have to worry about getting it wet or full of sand, the thing that makes it a fad is how it looks. So if you start looking at what Crocs have already evolved into, they're changing the look, the style. They're making some, now they're actually starting to put some style in them and making them look like regular shoes. So by changing again the look and the feel and the style, you don't have to go have Crocs go out of business.
All right, and that leads us to your point number six, which is redefine and reinvent.
Yeah, you see, transformation is a certainty. We're not going to just change. We're going to transform the whole shoot and match in a short amount of time. That means, again, that just trying to keep up is no longer good. You got to jump ahead. And if transformation, as I said, is a certainty, and I make the case that it is, that means that if you don't redefine and reinvent your business, whether it's small, medium, or large, someone else will, because it's going to happen. Transformation is there. And one of the beauties is we have more opportunity now as a small or medium-sized business to actually do something big, major, and huge than we've ever had before. Most of our technical tools are practically free today. And in terms of even the ability to use multi-million-dollar enterprise software now is actually being put as called software as a service online, and you can just have three employees using it, and you don't even have to have an IT department.
Wow.
So there is so much opportunity for us. Here's what we have to do. Stop getting so hung up on just the news and take some time to think about your future. That's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. Maybe you ought to think about it.
There you go. We're talking to Daniel Burris, everybody. Flash Foresight is his latest book. In the 30 seconds we've got left, Daniel, let's talk about another person or product, and that is Al Gore. How did he use your seven principles?
Well, Al Gore actually did, what is the opposite of being in high command and the vice president going for president? And that is he went to just being a normal person, but instead of just being a normal citizen, what he did was he put out that video. And that video actually changed and influenced more people than he was able to influence as the vice president of the United States.
And there you have it.
More by not being in politics. So the opposite of politics is what? It is doing what he did as an individual.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Daniel. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.